Revelation 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. It's on my heart to examine especially those words there where it says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I have been looking at the thought of upwards living, and I've used some words to explain my thought. The word justify means brought up. He brought us out of the miry pit of sin, justified us who were saved. If you're not saved, it'd be a good day to get that settled. And then the word sanctify means to clean up. Once he saved us, he began the work of sanctification to clean us up and to set us apart for his honor and glory and for his use. And then we looked at the word magnify, which means to lift up. And we are to lift him up, to magnify him. Not that we make him bigger than he is, for there's no way to do that. But just like with the magnifying glass, when you look through, that object appears to you to be bigger, and he needs to be bigger in our lives. I want to look this morning at the word testify, which means stand up. We're upwards living people, at least we ought to. We look down too much. We look horizontal too much. We need to look upwards. And the word testify, I think of the word stand up. We're about to examine probably one of the worst times in human history in these verses. What the mankind will experience and what especially God's people will experience during this time, probably worse than has ever happened before because of the wickedness that's going to be on earth. We, of course, are talking about the Great Tribulation period. And what God's people do, listen, what God's people do to make it through. But as you find out in this verse, it's not just the fact that they just barely make it through and barely hang on and almost lose it all, but somehow they make it out and they get through the other side, just about half dead and beat up and bleeding and bruised and battered. That's not what the verse says. It says they overcame him. They overcame the Antichrist. They overcame the devil. They overcame the wickedness. They overcame the Great Tribulation period. I ask this question, how in the world did they do that? But I also am reminded of this. They were not excused. God did not say, you're having it so tough. You don't worry about living right. You don't worry about serving me. You're excused. You got a time out in the Christian life. He does not say that. At the worst time of history for God's people, God still says to his people, I want you to serve me. I want you to live clean in an unclean world. I want you to be righteous in a wicked world, in a vile world that hates you and wants to kill you. If they are not excused then, we're not excused now. Oh, I know. I'm in the world too. I have to live the same life you're living. I know things are tough and things are problematic and I know things aren't easy, but we are not excused from living for God. And I want to look at this morning at the word testify, which means stand up. Stand up for the Lord. As I look through these verses, I see this. Satan will be committed. He is not going to give up. He is fighting like never before. If you look back in chapter 12 and verse 9, notice what it says. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Well, here's a point that's going to happen in the future. When God says to the devil, you are cast out. Right now, he can approach God and accuse us. And I believe he has to stand on the outskirts of heaven myself. But he still now can go and approach God to a degree and accuse us and all that he's trying to do. But there's coming a time when God says, you're cast out of heaven. And all your demons with you, they'll be cast out to this earth. And then notice in verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now he was cast out of heaven when he first tried to overthrow God, and he'll be cast out of heaven again when this takes place, but he does not give up. He comes down more angry than ever before, more intent to wreck and to ruin and to destroy. Like never before, he has a renewed desire, a renewed strength, a renewed goal of wrecking God's work in this world. And he comes down mad, and he does all he can because he realizes he doesn't have long to do what he's going to do. I'm saying the Satan will be committed. Look in verse 13. When the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. This, of course, is talking about Israel bringing forth Jesus. And during the tribulation period, the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet will persecute Israel and even God's people like never before. They will be persecuted like never before. Satan will be committed. The devil's not going to give up. By the way, he's not going to give up in your life. He's not going to take a break. He's not going to let you have a rest. The devil is after us. He's after them in the future. He's after us now. We just will face that. We have an enemy that hates us, and we will not be excluded from attack until we get to see heaven and get to see Jesus. Satan will be committed. But I want to mention number two during this time. Saints will be convinced. They overcame him, the dragon, the devil, and all his attack. The word overcame means they won. They won the battle. They stood, testify means stand up. Stand up for the Lord. Stand up for right. Do what God wants you to do. Stand up and let the world know. Stand up and let the Lord know. Stand up and let God's people know. Testify. Stand up for the Lord. Now I got a question. What does the modern church say today about standing up? Taking a stand for the Lord. What does that mean nowadays? It means go to Washington and legislate morality. It talks about getting a sign and going protesting. It talks about getting a law passed to make it easier for the church to stay in business and make sure the government doesn't stop us. That is the modern thinking of standing up for the Lord. But I want to tell you what they did. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They did not get mad and paint a sign. Now listen, that's between you and the Lord. What you want to do about that, that's between you and Him. But I'm saying what they will do, and I believe what will work today, if anything does, they were convinced. What in the world am I talking about? They will be convinced that this book that we have right now is true. And they can depend on what the Bible says because God's the one that wrote it, and God will not lie. They overcame. They were convinced that God told them the truth. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. What does that mean? Because of the blood of the Lamb. Because of what Jesus had done for them and for me and for you. In other words, they were convinced what the Bible says about the fact that they were really forgiven, that their sin was really gone, that Calvary really did buy them forgiveness, and they were, listen, at peace with God. And they did not have to fear God. Now, man is mistreating them. The Antichrist, the false prophet, the devil, is mistreating them terribly. They are being persecuted. They are being whipped. He's trying the best he can to kill them. So as far as man, for the most part, is angry at God's people and at the church, and especially at Israel. But not God. They do not have to fear God. They do not have to fear his anger. They do not have to fear whether he's going to change tomorrow. When they get up in the morning, they don't know what's ahead, but they do know this one thing. They are convinced, my God will go with me today. I can trust him. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb because they knew we're saved. We're God's people. And God ain't going to forsake his people. I've got news for you. The same God that will take care of them then, at the worst time of human history, will take care of us today. By the way, we're inching toward that time. That's what I want to get us to see. We're heading in that direction. We're going to see some of the things. In fact, I think we are seeing some of the things that foreshadow this time coming. The saints will be convinced they overcame the devil and the Antichrist and all that's going on by the blood of the Lamb. They knew God would watch after them. You see, the blood of the Lamb means the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, he died to pay for our forgiveness. And he died to pay for our sin. But that's not all the cross did. That's not all the blood did. The blood didn't just bring us salvation. It brings us victory. It provides power. They overcame because they knew, they were convinced we're God's children and he has given us power. He walks with us. He lives in us. He is sufficient for whatever I face today. Amen. They were convinced, and we ought to be, that God is God and he helps his people. And they had victory. You see, what was going on inside affected their outside. And boy, I want to tell you what, we look outside so much, and problems and troubles and difficulties and everything's going on. We need to look inside. God lives in there. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The God of heaven lives in us. The Spirit of God lives in us. We can count on that. We also can be convinced it's going to be all right. Satan will be committed, but saints will be convinced. It says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, but it also says by the word of their testimony. Well, what in the world does that mean? The word, which means speaking, of course, but more than that, the evidence, the outworking of what's inside. They overcame by the word of their testimony. That which was inside revealed itself outside. Here's the point. They were actively pursuing a godly lifestyle. That's how they're going to make it through. They will be actively pursuing a godly lifestyle. Now, I got a question. How does the average church think today that we counteract wickedness in the world? Or how do we overcome the effects of the wickedness and ungodliness in our country? I said again, stand up, demand your rights. Churches have rights, Christians have rights. Well, I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to live godly. By the word of the testimony, they counteract the darkness by living and displaying light. They counteract the wickedness by living a godly life. I thought about this. I honestly don't know many, and I'm not including myself in this number, but I do know a couple of people that are so godly that it's almost like the ungodliness around them doesn't touch them. Their godly life is so demonstrated, is so revealed, that it's like they're not affected by the ungodliness around them. And this Bible says that that's the way these people are going to make it through, by living godly in an ungodly time. The word of their testimony. They're convinced what this Bible says is true. And they're convinced the way to counteract or overcome or make it through or not be defeated by all the wickedness around them is to live right. Here's my point. They overcame instead of being overcome. And what a blessing that would be. To overcome. Oh my. And they overcame by their holy lives. Notice what it says also. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. They loved not their lives unto the death. I'm talking about how in the world can these saints make it through the worst time on earth for human history and human mankind, especially God's people. They overcame. They were convinced what this Bible says. And it says they love not their lives unto death. They in essence were saying, whatever the devil does, I'm not going to be overcome by it. Here's why. They were saying, if I die, I die. But I'm not saying no to Christ. I'm putting him first. If it cost me my life. They did not love their lives unto death. I mean, what in the world can the devil do with somebody who's ready to die? I mean, threaten them with heaven? I mean, what can the devil do to someone who says, I'd like Paul, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm alive, if I'm breathing, I'm going to live for God. And if I die, I'll be better off anyway. That's why they overcame, because they loved not their lives unto death. Notice, they loved not their lives unto death. They were willing to die before they would stop serving God. We love our life unto death. I don't think so. Unto a snicker. When somebody snickers at us, we quit. When we don't get invited to the office party because they know we're a Christian, we quit. That's all it takes. They didn't love their life unto death. We don't love our life unto the time it gets inconvenient. Or I miss the ball game or my favorite program's on TV. I'm telling you, they had a commitment because they were convinced what this Bible says is true. Remember what Jesus said to Peter? Lovest thou me more than these? Now the these that he was talking about may have been the other disciples, but it also may have been, do you love me more than your boats, more than your business? Because Peter had just gone fishing again, remember? So here's what Jesus was saying. Which do you love more? Business, people, pleasure, popularity, fun, your way or my way? And that's what we find in these people's lives, and it better be in ours if we expect to make it, even in our day. The saints were convinced they loved not their lives unto death. They thought this, the cause of Christ is worth dying for. And if the cause of Christ is worth dying for, friend, I want to tell you, it's worth living for. They saw their salvation not as a pillow to rest their head or some candy to enjoy to make this world a little sweeter or even a ticket to heaven. They saw their salvation as a weapon to use against the devil. And then when they did that and they won the fight, God's the one that got the glory. Our salvation is not a piece of jewelry that we admire and take care of and polish. Our salvation is something we should use for the glory of God. The saints were convinced. Let me go on. During this time, not only will Satan be committed and the saints will be convinced, but sinners will be convicted. And after all, that's the most important thing. In this wicked world, I would love to see the bars close down and the red light district turn the light off, and I'd love to see the drug places go out of business, and I'd love to see all the wickedness dry up, and I'd love to see a whole lot of good things where there's bad things now. But the one way you can see good things come out of bad things is this: they get saved. They get saved. And that's exactly what one of the things is going to happen then. Sinners will be convicted. Now, there's going to be a whole lot that reject the word. These Christians that are witnessing, these people of Israel, the 144,000, all the others, all of God's people who are sharing Christ and living godly lives, there's going to be a whole lot of sinners that reject them, make fun of them, and put them to death. A lot of them are cursing God and cursing the saints. But I want to tell you one thing, there's a whole lot of them going to get saved. If you want to, flip back just a couple of pages to Revelation chapter 7. We'll look at that and make sure we ain't telling you something that ain't true. Look at verse 9. During this same time, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Here's a whole lot of believers standing before the Lord, and he said it's a number so big you can't even count them, from every nation in the world. Well, who are they? Well, good, thank the Lord that he told us. Look in verse 14. He said, who are these? In verse 13, and he said, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There will be a multitude of people saved during the tribulation period, and one reason is this: there's some godly people living godly lives in an ungodly time. Sinners will be convicted. And I'm so glad that that's possible. Listen to me, but it's possible now. I know we're in the end days. I know hearts are growing more hard now than ever before, and I'll tell you what, you can't even find a lost person. You ask somebody if they're ready to go to heaven, oh yeah, and they got a beer can in their hand and a stogie in the other hand. But everything's fine. They live for the devil, live for self for years, never been inside a church, never picked up the Bible, but yeah, I'm going to heaven. It's hard to find a lost person who will admit they're lost anymore. But I want to tell you one thing. When God convicts them, they'll say, oh, I'm a rotten sinner. I'm heading to hell and I deserve it. And that's what's going to happen then. And that's what can happen now. If some of God's people will say, I'm going to serve God in an ungodly time, I'm going to stand up, I'm going to testify, like these people during the great tribulation period. The woman at the well, where she went back to town and says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, Jesus, for the saying of the woman which testified, that's what we're talking about, he told me all things I ever did. A lot of people in her hometown got saved because they saw her change life and they heard what she said. You know what that is? Testimony. When people see a changed person, a godly person, and that person tells them how they got there, it's going to make a difference, and some will be saved. Everybody? Of course not. Many? Maybe not. But then there'll be many saved. Sinners will be convicted. Then let me go on to my last point. I'm talking about testify. Stand up! Satan will be committed. Saints will be convinced. Sinners will be convicted. Number four, the Savior will be capable. How in the world did these people make it through? I've said some things, but the bottom line is this: God helps them. God enables them. They are not super saints. They are not elevated above the normal saint. They have not been anointed with some kind of supernatural, very distinct, and oh, just a few get this kind of anointing. Oh, no, they're just ordinary people like me and you who know God and love God and live for God. The Savior will be capable. The God who saved them will take care of them in the worst time in human history. The God of heaven is still going to be sufficient for them. And if he is for them, he is for us. He is capable. He is powerful enough. He can help us get through and be victorious in the process. He will provide for them in the worst time on earth. And I've got the same God they'll have. The early church was persecuted horribly. These people in that day during the tribulation period will be persecuted terribly. A lot of them will be put to death, no doubt. Many of them will make it through. But they will be persecuted, but that's not anything new. The early church was persecuted horribly. They were killed, they were beheaded, they were stoned, they were burned at the stake, they were dipped in wax and used as torches to light up the gardens of the people there. They were sewn up into animal skins and fed to the lions. They were crucified, and the whole time they were being persecuted, they were rejoicing. I'm going to tell you what, the God who can help them do that is the God who lives in your heart right now. We can look back at the early church. We can look ahead to the tribulation period. But we can look back at the Old Testament. The people of God in the Old Testament was persecuted also. The Old Testament, early church, ahead of the tribulation period. But what about right now? Could I remind you of something? We live in America. And in America, we're in a bubble. Because we have freedoms. We're losing them, by the way. And that may be why this message is being preached this morning. And I guarantee you the leaders, many of them in our offices of leadership in this country right now, hate the church and hate the Lord and despise us, think we're a bunch of baboons that are crazy and weird and want to shoot everybody. But we in this country still have enjoyed an awful lot of freedom. And we can worship this morning with little fear, but do you know that there have been preachers arrested for having services just like we are now in America? Yeah. And the reason they gave was COVID, one germ. Now listen, they start out with COVID. Next time it just may be, you just ain't behaving like us. You're not keeping our law. There's a statute against what. Listen, I'm telling you, they're coming after us. And I do not want us to be afraid, but I want us to be ready. I want us to be aware of what we might be facing. I tell you, it's heading toward the tribulation period, and it's not going to be like daylight, night. It's not going to be an instant change. It's going to be a gradual change. A slow process of getting into the circumstances we're talking about. Now, when the tribulation period comes and the devil just kicks it into gear, it's certainly going to get worse. But I want to tell you what, it's going to be a slow process of things steadily getting worse and worse and worse. And we're seeing it. And we can bury our heads in the sand and pretend it's not going to happen. Or we can say, hey, we better wake up. It's time to stand up for the Lord in the right way. I'm talking about the Savior will be capable. He will be able to help them. I've already said Old Testament, early church, tribulation period. But listen, in this world, our world, a lot of God's people are being persecuted today. In America, not so much. But the Center of the Study of Global Christianity says that they estimate, their research is trustworthy, in the last decade, 10 years, how many Christians do you think have been killed in this world? 5,000, 10,000? 25,000? They estimate 900,000 in the last 10 years. There's a whole lot of countries, China and other countries, India. Boy, you try and do something like this, you ain't going to be mistreated. You're not going to be thrown in jail. You're going to be killed. In the last 10 years, 900,000 Christians have been put to death for their stand for the Lord. That's one every 6 minutes. I'm not talking about in the future. I'm not talking about early church. I'm not talking about Old Testament. I'm talking about today. We better watch out about what might come even to our country. We don't know what we're going to face. But I'm glad no matter what we face, we've got a God who will help us. The Bible says this, Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He didn't spare his own son, the most darling Because say it, the most valuable thing to the Father was a son, but he willingly gave him for you and for me. But the verse doesn't end. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Paul is saying, if the Father gave his most darling possession, the Son, for you, don't you think he's going to give you everything else you need to serve him, to live for him, to deal with the world, to make it through another day, to overcome? He is the one that is capable. He is the one that's able. Paul said, I am ready not only to be bound only, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Where did that come from? Paul strong? No. Paul had a strong God. And you've got the same God Paul had. Jesus said, for whomsoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whomsoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. We'll find out what true living is. That's in heaven, preacher. Oh, I think it is. But I think it's down here too. How else can somebody, while they're being whipped, while they're being burnt, rejoice and sing gospel songs and smile? I'll tell you why. Because there's a God living in them. And that same God lives in you. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:2, ye are our epistle written on in our hearts, known and read of all men. Paul said to those people that were saved, you are the epistle of God. In other words, some people will never pick up a Bible. Some people would never come to church. Some people will never tune in a gospel radio station, radio or TV. But he said, there are some people wandering around in this world. They're called Christians. And those Christians are a display of God's book. The godly living Christian who stands up and testifies for the glory of God is like an epistle. And he says they may never go to the Bible, but they can look at your life. They may never enter a church, but they can look at your life. And you are their Bible, and you are their church, and you are their gospel preacher. They're looking at you. We are a testimony. But I want to ask you a question. We are a witness. But what kind of witness are we? We are a good witness or a bad witness. We are a commercial. I don't want to cheapen it, but it's the truth. We are a commercial for the Lord and salvation and the Bible, or we're a commercial against it. You ever watched a commercial and it was so good you just had to go buy the product? Or have you ever gone and watched a commercial and you thought that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life? We are a commercial. We are an epistle. People are watching us and listening to us. And we need to make sure that our life is something that says, I want what they've got. I want what they've got. I said it before. Back when I was living on the streets in Atlanta, I went to spend the night. I thought they didn't let me, but I went to spend some time with some what I call Jesus freaks. And boy, I want to tell you one thing I saw in that house was love, and I saw something that I did not have. And even back then as a lost person, and didn't get saved for a good while after that, I saw in them something I did not have. And I tell you one thing, I wanted it even then. Do people look at your life and say, I don't know what they've got, but I know I don't have it? I need your godly life, your good attitude, your godly living in spite of the wickedness. In that time, in the tribulation period, the one thing that will say a testimony and them standing up is their godly lifestyle and their godly living and their patience even during trials. Our testimony. Somebody watching our lives that's heading to hell right now. And what they see in us and hear in us will help determine whether they get saved or they continue in sin. They love not their lives unto death. If I die for the Lord, it's okay. I love Him more than I love life. We need to realize our witness is more important than us getting our way, winning the argument, proving our point. They didn't love their life unto death. We have trouble letting the waitress slide by if she didn't put our pickle on our hamburger. Do you remember what I've told you? You know that waitresses and restaurant owners say the worst people that ever come into the restaurant is the church crowd on Sunday afternoon. I'm telling you, that is a bad testimony. And we're in trouble if we have a fit because somebody didn't put a pickle or they put the dressing on the salad instead of on the side. If we blow our testimony over something little like that, what in the world are we going to do when it comes down to I got to deny Christ or die? What are we going to do then? They lived for the Lord, even though it might cost them their lives. You know what it takes for us? One germ. There's churches now that have been closed for months. But there's churches now who have less people coming. And I understand some, it's dangerous. There's no doubt. But it doesn't take much to get people today to stop, to give up, to quit. I'm telling you, we're heading towards something we better get ready for. People quit nowadays and Joe doesn't shake Jim's hand. Or Susie wore the same color dress that Lucille did. Or I didn't get my favorite song sung. Now, am I telling the truth or not? Yeah, that's about what I expected. But you know I'm telling the truth. I don't know what's ahead, but I do know this. It's worse now than I ever thought it would be. And it ain't going to get better. Now, it may improve. COVID may be taken care of. Things may get back to normal for a little bit. But overall, things are going to progressively get worse. And we who know Him need to learn how to stand up with a godly life, godly attitude, and overcome the darkness with our light. Well, it's been fun, hasn't it? I want to ask you this morning, are you saved? Do you know it? Parking lot, are you saved? Church pew, pulpit, are you saved? Do you know for sure? If you're not or not sure, today would be the day you'd need to check up. We who are saved, I'm going to tell you what, I do not look forward to things getting worse. They're worse now than I ever wanted them to be, but they're going to get worse. And I do not want to give up. I do not want to fail. I do not want to fall when things get worse. If we can't make it now, we need to go to the God who's able and say, God, I need your strength. I need your help. Help me to be an example by my godly life and my godly testimony. Let's stand together.